Okay, and welcome back. Time to talk to Mitchell Henderson as we sit on the brink of war. Maybe lots of wars. I don't know. Just a lot going on. Boy, the last hour was wild. Knocked off electricity two, three times. Tremendous downpour. Lightning, thunder. Really fun for me. I like that. We don't get that much out here. All right. Mitchell Henderson. Standing by with his latest, and where are we, Mitch? No nukes yet, nothing blown up yet. What's going on?
Well, let me start by talking about nuclear lies you're being told. Okay,
hell, they're lies. You name the subject, and we're getting lied to. So, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So chapter 8 of my book, The Final Wars, explains nuclear war and nuclear weapons and stuff. So that book's available at Amazon. And the thing is the lies are so bad. Okay, I can tell you from the official pronouncements of our president, our government thinks we are so incredibly stupid that they can say the stupidest things and they expect us to believe them. So follow me here. Israel has been saying since the 1990s that they intend to bomb Iran's nuclear facilities. Since October 7th, 2023, Israel has threatened to do exactly that.
Yeah.
For at least 11 days before the U.S. dropped the bombs on their facilities, the Iranians knew it was coming. The most important part of that program was the 400 kilograms of U-235 that was 60% enriched. It has taken them years to do that. Remember, it is hard to make the U-235, but very easy to make it into a bomb.
Okay.
So are Iranians stupider than the average guy? Would they not move the 400 kilograms of U-235 somewhere else? Wouldn't you? I mean, wouldn't anybody? If you knew they were coming to bomb wouldn't you move it?
Yes, it goes without saying, of course.
Yeah. So President Trump, after the bombing on June 22nd, said that we destroyed that uranium because it was too heavy and too hard to move.
Uh-huh.
Okay. In other words, it would be extremely difficult to move the 400 kilograms of U-235 without being detected. Nonsense. What absolute ridiculous bullshit. What a pathetic, crazy lie.
Totally,
you
yeah.
should believe nothing this man says. What is said is that the generals told Trump this, and he believed them. Trump is not a well-informed or even a well-read man. His intellect is shallow, and he only has a very superficial understanding of what is going on in the world. Actually, a delusional understanding of what's going on in the world.
It's true.
Okay, if you put 400 kilograms of U-235 in a box, how big would that box be? Well, you know, we think about 400 kilograms. Oh, it must be like a big.
Well, it's 2.2 pounds each, so it'd be 800, 900 pounds.
Yeah, whatever. So 880 pounds of flour. Well, that takes up a lot of space, right?
Yeah.
So, let me tell you how big that box would be. It would be 10.5 inches tall, wide and deep. A 10.5 inch cube. That's less than a 1 foot cube. That's how much 400
wow.
kilograms of U-35 is. It's just 10.5 inches
so
square box.
400 kilograms of U-235 would fit in that small of a box. Good
yes,
luck lifting
yes.
it up, but that's the physical space it would consume. All right.
Well, we have things that can lift stuff
course,
like that.
Of course.
It's not.
So do they. Any forklift.
Yeah.
Any forklift.
A forklift, yes. You know, it wouldn't be hard. Okay, so do you think that you can move a box that big without anybody noticing? Well, sure. If you put the 400 kilograms of uranium uh-huh. in a lead box, 11 uh-huh. inches cube, with 1/8-inch lead walls to protect the people transporting it and not allow the radiation to escape the box, that box made of lead will only weigh 36.32 pounds. So the box that it goes in is only 36 pounds. So 916 pounds, give or take. Okay, you know, there are things that big and that heavy that we move all the time, and with the lead box around it, you're not going to really be able to detect it. You know, I mean, they have to shield it from you. So yeah. The next question is, how many nuclear weapons could Iran make with that much U-235 enriched to 60%? 9 weapons. How big would each weapon be? A 6-inch diameter sphere weighing 47.1 kilograms each. That's about 100 pounds, okay, 110 pounds, something like that. A 6-inch diameter sphere. That's as big. That's all the big nuclear warhead is. Not the warhead, but the pit, the actual bomb material. It's only a 6-inch diameter sphere, okay? What else would they need aside from the explosives to compress it into a critical mass to create a chain reaction that will lead to a nuclear detonation? A beryllium pellet to reflect neutrons and make the supercritical mass easy to reach. Each pellet of beryllium can be BB-sized. Is that easy to get? Sure. I'm an element collector, and I have enough beryllium pellets for 100 of these bombs. Okay? If I have it, Iran has it. You can have it, too. You can go on the Internet, and you can buy like a bunch of beryllium. Okay? There's no restrictions on it whatsoever. Okay, they want to act like these things are all hard things to get. Okay,
yeah.
Let me explain critical mass and how it works. Okay, because this is kind of important to understand how this works. When a mass of fissionable material increases in density, the mass required to achieve criticality decreases. The density of a substance will increase if its volume decreases. This is common sense, okay? Rapidly decreasing the radius of a mass of fissionable material can rapidly achieve criticality. So all the explosives is doing is crunching all that material together so that it reaches critical mass by making it more dense. And it happens fast. That's why you use an explosive, is you want it to happen fast. It's not going to happen very well if you put it in a vise or something, okay? You really need explosives to do that. So in other words, if you have a 6-inch sphere of U-235 and you compress it with explosives, it obviously reduces the volume of the sphere, increases the density of the sphere, and causes the neutrons to start flying about, causing a nuclear chain reaction that leads to a nuclear explosion. A beryllium pellet in the center reflects the neutrons and increases the number of them flying about, helping the explosion. Wrap this sphere in some depleted uranium, which is much denser than lead and will not allow any neutrons to escape, okay, also potentiates the chain reaction. Depleted uranium is very easy to get. Like beryllium, anybody can buy depleted uranium. It is easy to get. This makes a 15-kiloton nuclear warhead. The fireball has a radius of 328 feet. It will completely destroy everything within a one-mile radius of ground zero. So you ask the question, why didn't Iran try to make plutonium bombs? Plutonium bombs have much greater yields and much less weight. It is much better for nuclear weapons. A uranium bomb does not make such a large explosion. Iran only made uranium because if they make a weapon, it is for Israel, and Israel is their holy land also. They don't want to completely destroy their holy land. 9 nuclear weapons that yield 15 kilotons and only destroy everything within a mile of the target would be enough to take all 3 of Israel's ports, their airports, their air bases, their nuclear facilities, and command and control. That's all they need, because they don't want to wipe Israel off the map. They just want to destroy the government that's there. This was also a signal to the world that this would be a defensive weapon against only Israel, and that they had no intention to make a weapon that could attack the United States or Europe. We knew this, but the American people were never told, and they were pretty sure no one would get a clue. Now you have a clue. They didn't make plutonium bombs because they didn't want to threaten the United States with nuclear weapons. In other words, a nuclear-armed Iran is no threat to the United States. It's only a threat to Israel.
Of course not. Yes, of course, that's true. Totally true.
So these are the nuclear lies that they tell us. It's just that nobody really knows about nuclear weapons, so, you know, there's so much they don't say. It's a lot of lying by omission, you know. If you knew that it was a like less than a 1 foot cube of material that they had to move it, would you believe Trump when he says, "Oh, it's too difficult to move"? You know, and it's so easy to detect. It's a 1 foot cube of material. This is not like truckloads. Okay? I mean, a single truck can transport this. How much do you think a truck holds? This. How much do you think you can put in the bed of a pickup truck? You can put this in the bed of a pickup truck and transport it.
Yeah.
Okay?
Sure.
So this is nonsense.
They cleaned everything out of there. I don't know why it's hard for people to understand that. They had 10 days notice.
Yeah, it's true. So the question is, do we see World War III? Well, I contend, and history will prove me correct, World War III began on June 22nd when we bombed Iran. That's when the United States entered the war against Iran. So what is the war plan that Israel and the United States has for Iran? Okay, we see some hints of this. Have you been seeing the news about Azerbaijan, how they arrested some Russian journalists and stuff, and Russia's having, you know, some disputes with them now over that. What it is the northwestern provinces of Iran is full of Azeri people, and Israel and the United States has talked Azerbaijan into invading Iran. Okay, when we start the next bombing campaign, we want as Azeri troops to invade Iran. This is a suicide mission for those poor people. Okay? This is just going to get them killed. Yes. We are so irresponsible with other people's lives. We've killed 1.5 Ukrainians already, I mean, soldiers and stuff. Now we're going to throw these Azerbaijanis into the fray. How's this war going to look, Jeff? How did the 1980 to 88 war between Iraq and Iran look? It was just a charnel house, this trench warfare. There's deaths and deaths and deaths. And this is what Azerbaijan is going to be. See, we keep thinking that the Azeri people in northwestern Iran will raise up and overthrow their oppressive Persian masters and stuff, you know. Why do they tell us this nonsense? Because they want us to think that they know what they're doing, okay? So if we look a little bit more into what's going on in the Caucasus Mountains, okay, there's more going on. If there have been protests in Armenia, okay, so let me explain. Armenian government is pro-Western, and one of the things they did is they just gave Azerbaijan a bunch of villages and a bunch of territory, and the Azerbaijani people are pissed about that. So now you see a lot of players coming in. So you got Azerbaijan attacking Iran, okay? Then you'll have Armenia attacking Azerbaijan, Russia attacking Azerbaijan, and Iran attacking Azerbaijan. Azerbaijan is going to get its clock clean, and they don't even know it because Israel and the United States is playing them for a sucker, getting them to sacrifice themselves for Israel, making them believe that they can have a greater Azerbaijani state. They can't do that. They don't have the military ability.
It's another Jewish plot line. Is this the same thing?
Oh, sure, sure. So then let's look at the war in Europe, okay? We have color revolution going on in Serbia, trying to overthrow the government there and install a Western gay government, a gay sodomite Marxist government like the rest of Europe, okay? We have a gay revolution going on in Hungary. Can't get people to really protest Orban himself, but they can get the gay people to do it because they're friends of George Soros. He's of course, finances such a thing. Okay, and in Slovakia, nothing's really going on. I mean, they did try to assassinate the president last year, but right now, those are three areas that they want to bring around. If you remember, in Romania, they had a nationalist government coming up that the courts and stuff completely cheated the people out of their vote, okay, of what they wanted. So there's some things that we have to pay attention to here, okay, and that is Russia is a civilizational nation, okay. It's not just a Russian nation like France or Germany is. It is a Russian culture thousands of years old, okay? It's a very ingrained culture. It's different than the West. They have Orthodox Christianity instead of, you know, a Protestant Catholic. They have, their mindset is totally different. They are a civilization, okay? And now they have come back into their own. Let's flip over to China. China is a civilization. That's a civilizational nation. This is Chinese civilization. This is a nation 4,000 years old. It's not a new country. You realize that up to 300 years ago, China was the biggest industrial nation in the world, and it had the biggest economy in the world 300 years ago. Okay, before it was attacked by the West. When the West comes, what they do is they weaken you, and they turn you into a beggar, is what they do. So if you look at Iran is not just another country; it's a civilizational country. It's a Persian country. These people have pride in their country.
Correct.
They have pride in their civilization. As does Russia. As does China. Believe it or not, North Korea is a civilizational country. Okay, they're a Neo-Confucian civilization that's been around for a long time. Okay, so when you look at the United States is this a civilization? You know, is even Europe's not a civilization? You know, they're being flooded by people from Africa and Asia and the Middle East and stuff, and their civilization is dead, basically. The West, Europe and the United States, does not want nationalism because they can't have it, because that doesn't give the globalists what they want as far as their power and stuff. And so they really hate these civilizational countries. But the difference between a civilizational country and us is we're sort of like an artificial country, a made-up country. They have thousands and thousands of years of culture. These people have pride in their culture. You know, it's not like us. I mean, you just look at you know, you can find some Americans. They're still patriotic. You know, God bless them. But you know, just look at the way most people trash our country. I see people on the media saying, "Well, I won't never celebrate the 4th of July, but I celebrate Juneteenth." You know, I mean, what the hell? You know, is this nonsense?
Yeah.
So. Yeah, it's just like that. There was a concept back when I was a kid, like this is 50 years ago. There was this concept of an American, okay, but America 50 years ago was a much different country than it is now. What we have done in the past 50 years, we have imported a mass of people that hate us and despise us.
It's a masterstroke of suicide. It's what we've done.
Yes, it is. So what identity did we have as an American? It used to be 50 years ago, there was an American identity. Well, what is an American identity now? This Marxist sodomy? Is that what we are? This is a sodomite Marxist nation? That's what the Biden administration. This was the culmination of progress and civilization. Was Marxist sodomy? You know.
You got it. Yep. Yes, sir. I don't know. All I know is it's all coming down. Trump's lies are astounding now. in their transparency, their obviousness. It's their betrayal to the American people. This bill he's working on with Christie, the dog shooter Noam, to allow 10 million, 20 million illegals to stay with a pass to citizenship. He's nuts. Nuts.
Well, look, so many people voted for him because he said he was not going to send all this money to Ukraine. He just announced the other day he's going to start sending more arms and stuff to Ukraine. I mean,
Zelensky said they had a wonderful, very highly productive conversation or something.
And today, Netanyahu and Trump, or should I say Hitler and Mussolini, okay, because that's what it looks like, they were in Washington planning the start of World War III, the start of actual hostilities in World War III. Okay, they're planning what to do next. Okay, so this war is going to come. It's going to heat up. It takes a while to heat up because you know the politicians have to do the psychological preparation for it. I mean, we have it. We appointed a commander of NATO, this Air Force general, who said, Ukraine can get Russia's butt. We put an idiot in charge of Ukraine, in charge of NATO. We put an absolute idiot in charge, a guy who has no concept of reality at all.
No.
Okay,
no.
And he's ahead of NATO now.
Idiots are running the show. Idiots and deceivers and betrayers, frauds, crooks, criminals.
Yes.
That's what's running our world now.
Yes, it is. And not only that, but they're not even smart.
They're dumb.
Their problem is that they really think we're incredibly stupid. And, you know, I think COVID ended the world of stupid people, because COVID showed many people, it awakened people to the fact that the government, scientists, doctors, news media are all lying to them, blatant, outright, obvious lies. Mm-hmm. And so this is a great awakening in America. And so this is why their lies seem so pathetic. Is because they still think they're all lie. They think that they can just lie, and we're going to believe their lies because they're the president or they're the news media. And they say it, and they have the authority to say it. But they're trying to convince us of stupid things that it's very hard for us to actually believe. I mean, when I saw Trump say, it's too hard to move 400 kilograms of uranium. Come on, they move 400 kilograms of fentanyl across their border every day. You know, so why is that so difficult to move? Why are we supposed to believe this nonsense, you know?
We're supposed to believe typical soap opera trash. That's what they're feeding us. There's nothing logical about any of this.
Definitely.
Awful.
You know, there's two things that are kind of coming up in the have been coming up in the news. You know, I talk about the COVID awakening of people. At the same time that we had that awakening, we started having a lot of news media going against like the sodomy stuff. You know, there's all these genders. The gender and race are just social constructs, and we're supposed to believe all kinds of absurd, stupid things because it makes people feel good. It's sort of like public virtue signaling rather than telling of truth and stuff. So this was one hand, and we saw that, criminals, you know, if a criminal breaks into your house and you tell them you should go to jail and you should be sued for hurting the poor criminal. This is the world that they were trying to foist upon us, but there was enough people who spoke out against this. Not that it changed much, but what it did is made people aware of the stupidity they're trying to make us believe. Okay, there's another thing that has come out big. I remember just a year ago when I was talking about. I don't know if you remember, but I started talking about how this persecution of Christians would be at the hands of other Christians. It would be at the hands of Christian Zionists that people would be persecuted and stuff, okay? Because this was like false narrative, false prophecy. So listen, if we keep it real simple, 1 John 2, 22 to 23 makes two statements that should open your eyes to the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, we're going back for those of you in the audience who are not Christian or not religious people. Once again, mm-hmm. I just want to let you know that it's not reality that determines what's going to happen in the world. It is perceptions. And half of the world's perceptions is based on prophecy of the Bible, both Muslim, Christian, and Jewish, okay? So these perceptions are important, okay? So this is the perception that 1 John 2, 22 to 23 gives. Part one, if you do not acknowledge that Jesus is the Christ, you are Antichrist. So this is the definition of Antichrist. Keep it simple. What is Antichrist? Is Israel Antichrist? Absolutely. Israel does not believe that Jesus is the Christ. They're pungently opposed to that very notion. Okay?
Right.
They cannot stand that. So Israel is Antichrist. Okay? Second thing is it says very clearly, if you do not have the Son, you do not have the Father. So if you're a Christian, there's no way you should believe that Christ is coming back to save Israel and that you should bless Israel. God's not blessing Israel. He just said it in 1 John 2. He says it right there, that if you don't have the Son, you don't have the Father. Israel does not have the Son, so they do not have the Father. That is a statement, a pure statement, saying that God is not on Israel's side. Christ is not coming back to save Israel or to save the Jews, okay? He's not. There's no separate dispensation for Jewish people. If Jewish people don't accept Christ, then they are not saved, okay? This is what that formula in 1 John 2 says, okay? This is the fact. What Christian Zionism has done is it has completely led people, 50 million Christians, away from that. And these people mm-hmm. believe it so strongly mm-hmm. that they think if you do not support Israel, that you're going to hell. That's what they believe.
If you don't support Israel, you're going to hell. I don't even know how to begin to approach those people. I mean, directly, indirectly, in any fashion, they're not connected to reality.
As a matter of fact, they are worshiping the beast.
And they think they're virtuous,
but they are worshiping the beast. When it says 666, I mean, listen, when the time comes that they're talking about, all these things should be obvious to you. They shouldn't be shrouded in mystery. You know, the water's muddy. It should be clear. So where do we see 666 in the world? We see it on that Logan David, that Star David, that's flying over the murder, the genocide, the ethnic cleansing, the war crimes in Israel. That is 6 points, six triangles, six inner angles. 666. If you can't see that Israel is the Antichrist and Israel is Satan, then you're not going to see anything at all, ever. Okay?
Nope. I agree.
I mean, it is smacking you in the face. Look at the lies. The lies it tells. Iran has purposely avoided any kind of nuclear technology that would say that they had ever intended to make a bomb that would attack the United States. This is what they've done, and our government won't tell our people that. They tell us the lies that Israel wants us to believe. Okay, why are we going to die for Israel? You know, it's in the next few years, approximately 315 million Americans are going to die and they're going to die for Israel. They're going to die for the Antichrist. Okay? That's what they're being sacrificed on the altar of the Antichrist. So this is it. You know, this is
obvious. Netanyahu's in the White House right now telling Trump what he needs to be done next.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, Netanyahu is obviously is the Antichrist. You know, and listen, when they talk about Antichrist, it's like a system of things. It's not necessarily a single person. So let me just say this, that, you know, there's this thing in the end times that talks about the two witnesses. And the two witnesses describe two people. And you can tell who they're talking about by the powers they have. One is Moses and one is Elijah. And what Moses is doing is he's about the law. He's about telling you, no, it's not okay to be a sodomite. No, it's not okay to be a child molester. No, it's not okay to do all this evil stuff, okay? And the second witness is Elijah, and he's about prophecy. And the lie we're being told is that God is there to support Israel, and Christ is coming to save Israel. That is the false prophet. And Christian Zionism is the false religion of the end times.
Has that been determined by any scripture, directly or indirectly? Name these people, the believers of the false church, whatever they were called.
Well, you know what? Listen, it's like way back 2,000 years ago, I don't think you were supposed to understand what they were talking about. The whole point of Revelation is when the time comes, you're supposed to be able to connect the dots, okay? So you know, I mean, it's just like I see all these different interpretations of, like, the four horsemen, you know, the white horse, the red horse, the black horse, and the yellow-green horse, okay? And the thing is these people are trying to look at other things and determine what it means by what symbols meant to people 500 years ago, 800 years ago, 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago. But you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to look at it and compare what you can see now. So this whole narrative is a historical movement starting 2,000 years ago. Okay, so we have a white horse who's given a crown and a bow to go out conquering. 1492, the white people started conquering the whole world and did conquering, bring under control every nation on this earth. Right now, it is the white European American power that's making the glass grasps for world domination. So it's continued. Then you had the red horse go out, and he's given a great sword, and he fights amongst himself and takes peace away from the earth. That's Marxism. Uh-huh. That's communism. We even call them the Reds, okay? And this was a response to the mercantilism and the Industrial Revolution, okay? And it was an anti-God movement, okay? So the next horseman is a black horse, and he went out. We can just start that at the Civil War, side. He went out, and what he did, he's a black horse, and he's carrying balances. That's black equality, okay? And that has not stopped since then. So the white horse is still going on. Europe and the United States is trying to still control the world. The red horse is still going on, okay? Mm-hmm. But the only thing is we're kind of the red horse now. We're the Marxists, okay? Mm-hmm. Western Europe and America is the Marxists now. And then the black horse, we're the black horse, because just look at how much everything is racism in the United States. Every motivation for everything that happens is racism. What is climate change caused by? Racism. What is hatred caused by? Racism. What is economic inequality caused by? Racism. What is ignorance and crime caused by? Racism. So see, this white horse, red horse, black horse, mm-hmm. is still Then the fourth horseman, right. which I'll tell you how I came to understand this, is I always read the pale horse. And but then I was reading the Spanish Bible, and then in Spanish they call it a caballo amarillo, which means yellow horse. And I was like, oh, well, is it pale or is it yellow? Because that makes a difference. So I went to the Greek, and the word used in the Bible is chloros, and chloros means yellow green. And what's right. yellow green? 1980, green Sunnis began fighting the yellow Shias. And that started in 1980 with Saddam's war on Iran. Listen, that's what's going on right now. All our wars in the Middle East were started with this Sunni-Shia war that's still going on today. Okay, here we are about to go to war. I mean, we have gone to war with Iran. And this is the yellow-green that
we say about. When we phrase it, we have gone to war with Iran. How about we unmercifully attacked Iran for absolutely no viable reason? None.
Right. None. Nope. So, you know, it's so. What I'd like people to realize is that what can trigger a nuclear war? I think the most likely trigger for nuclear war. Listen, when I say this stuff, I am just looking at it from. I'm comparing history with prophecy. I'm using military strategy and stuff that I learned, analysis of strategic purposes and stuff to determine what's likely to happen next. Okay. So this is not like God telling you prophecy or anything. This is just me analyzing, and I feel like a lot of times what I'm doing is just stating the obvious. Okay, so who's the one who's unstable?
That's true.
Who's the one who's unstable? Who's the one who's immoral, inhumane, uncontrollable, obsessive? That is Israel, okay? Mm-hmm. I think Israel is the one who's going to probably throw the first nuke. When they start losing, when Iran starts crushing them like a bug with their 90,000 remaining missiles, okay, I think Israel is going to panic and they're going to fire a nuke at Iran. And when
they
do that,
that the Iranians only use 5% of their ballistic missile force. 5%. That's what
I'd say they've hardly fired anything yet.
Okay.
They're saving the best. In this last 12-day war, Jeff, they were throwing away their old stuff.
I know.
They had a few new missiles in there that they were trying out. They were trying out some new stuff, but they were throwing a lot of old junk at them. And stuff. Okay,
yeah.
they're saving some of their best for last.
They were burning up their Iron Dome inventory as well, and we are noticing that. Gosh, we don't have the inventory we used to have. We're disarming ourselves.
Yes, we are.
Biden's Ukraine efforts and Trump's Israel. we're just really burning things up. We can't replace them.
We're under this delusion that we will always win. I don't know why we believe that. Did we win in Afghanistan 20 years with the strongest military on earth fighting illiterate goat farmers with no superpower support, and we're the best military in the world? Excuse me, but no. Okay, we lose that, and the next thing we do is we turn around and we want to go to war with China, Russia, Iran, and North Korea all at the same time. Okay, it's like these people are obsessed and they're insane. The people who rule us. Okay, so what I'm saying is just a thing. I think it'll be Israel that probably throws the first nuke. Pakistan has already said if Israel nukes Iran, Pakistan will nuke Israel. And they have the power to do it. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
They have the weapons to do it. North Korea has said if
the Israelis must be dealing with that.
Iran, we're going to do it.
Yeah. They have to. They know.
No, Netanyahu is in charge, and he is not. he's laser focused he's got to do it now. He's under so much pressure to do it because if they have peace, he's going to prison and he knows it. So he's going to lose power if they have
peace. People don't remember. 30,000 to 40,000 a week were demonstrating against him, demanding that he be charged.
Oh yeah, sure.
Nobody remembers.
Sure. So the only way he can
and here he is
the
in the White House.
Do this is by making war.
Yeah, you saw what he did when they sat down for their lunch brunch. He had his hand in the letter, nominating him for the Nobel Peace Prize.
Oh, that was disgusting.
What
here's the thing is people are so blind, they're so deflective. So when I make this statement, what I want you to do is I don't want you to think about the reality of Hitler and Mussolini and them, because you got to remember they were the anti-Comintern pack. They were anti-Marxist and stuff, okay? So forget about the reality, and let's just go with the established official narrative of Hitler, the Third Reich, and Nazism, okay? What we see right now in Israel is the Third Reich. Zionism is Nazism, and Netanyahu is Hitler. Okay,
you don't have to push me. I get the idea anyway. Although I have a different view of Hitler.
I mean, the narrative isn't true to begin with, but if you accept the narrative that has been pushed on us for the past 50 years, that narrative, looking at in Israel, we're looking at exactly what they're talking about.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I concur. So what's next, young man? What's next?
Well, what's next is you still have time to get yourself ready. I mean, listen, it's any day now. Yeah. It's any day. It can start happening any day, and it'll spiral out of control. Once it gets out of control, the world gets out of control, the government's going to not come down and start controlling you. And the economy and transportation and movement and stuff.
Absolutely.
So you need to get your food, you need to get your weapons, you need to get your supplies, you need to get your escape plan. If you buy my book, The Final Wars, How to Survive, The Coming Civil War, World War III, and the Crash of Civilization, Collapse of Civilization, what I tried to do in there is not so much tell you in detail every little thing you got to do, but try to get you thinking about what you should be thinking, how you should think about what you're going to get together, how you should think about what you're going to do when this happens or that happens, okay? And above all, if you want to predict what's happening, I mean, we see the pronouncements of Trump and what he wants to do, what he wants Russia to do, what he wants Iran to do. Look at chapter 9 of my book. I put it down in there. I put it down what the enemy is thinking, or what we call the enemy. What does Russia think? What does Iran think? What does China think? If you know what they think, you know that they're never, ever going to agree with Trump, and there will be war. There has to be war, because they're never going to agree with the ridiculous things that Trump is coming up with. I mean, if they talk about, we've seen over the past 50 years all these memes about the insane, unrealistic dictator who just, he pictures the world a certain way, and he's going to try to impose this vision upon the world. Well, that man is Donald Trump. Okay, he's there. He's our guy. He's got this unrealistic view of the world. He thinks, it's just business and stuff. You know, I mean, no, it's not just business. It is human life. Okay, mm-hmm. It's not just some deal. It's not about him getting a Nobel Peace Prize. Okay, it's. I mean, the absurdity of all this. Netanyahu, suggesting that Trump get a peace prize. That's like Hitler making a nomination to the Nobel Peace Board to nominate Mussolini for peace. okay? It's tantamount to the same thing. It's absurd and it's ridiculous. And I don't know, people just need to see. So you know, get my book and get ready. Get my book, The Final Wars. It's in Amazon. And get Travis Smith's Prepare tab. There's the thing on Jeff's website. There's a banner where you can find the Prepare tab. That has all kinds of information on it. You can carry it with you. You don't need the grid to operate that.
It's a life raft. Yeah,
it's like a life raft. Yeah. So get these things. You got to get going. The time is here. The time is now. You got to get your stuff together. It's happening. Okay. Bad times are very coming. And when I say bad times, this people will be total war. Okay. That means economic, financial, information warfare, every form of warfare that you can think, in every way that your life can be upended, it is going to be upended. And there's 8 billion people on Earth right now. If all the grid goes down, if all transportation goes down, millions of people are going to start dying very quickly. Okay?
Very quick.
People will be fighting each other for food. People will be... In the near future, people will be hunting other people to eat them. Okay, this is the future you're looking at. Okay, it will be that bad. The only available food source on the face of the earth for humans will be other humans. Okay.
Wow. Yeah.
So
I think it's really difficult to put a timeline on this. It's whatever is going to happen will be by their decision. That's the best thing I can go with. Full-out nuclear war, whatever. They will decide. They will decide how much of the world is to be destroyed. And we must think about this logically. It's not the world that's being destroyed. It's the human inhabitant. The human inhabited portions of it. The cities that... urban areas, so-called civilization, which is actually a very small geographical piece of the pie. It's not that big.
Right.
Fly across the U.S. and keep your eyes open and look down. What do you see? Miles and miles of nothing.
Yep, that's right. So the thing is about it, remember last time I was talking about the phony war, keep in mind World War II, we declared war on Germany in December 1941. We did not actually attack Germany until June 1944, 3 years later. Now, we started attacking German forces and allies in 1943, 3 years later. So you know, how much time do you really have to get ready? Well, you know what? You better just figure that you really don't have much time. And you better start getting ready. You better start figuring out where you're going to go by scouting out the place you're going to run to.
You have no leisure, no leisure time.
No,
there's no time to get serious.
We are there. Yeah,
you're running out of money. Most of you listening in the U.S., most of you are having severe financial trouble right now, and I don't know how much worse it can get before you're going to lose. We're all going to lose most everything. Not good. And this is what they planned. I don't like saying it. I don't see any other way out. How can we get out of this? We can't. We can't. What do? We can't go to the ballot box, Mitch. What do we do?
No. You got to start figuring out how you're going to take care of yourself, okay?
Right.
You know, I mean, you know, get my book, The Final Wars, and use that as a thought process of what you need to do, okay?
Very good. Very good. All right, my friend, let's see what happens day by day.
Okay.
Thanks, Mitch.
All right.
Take care.
Okay.
Talk soon.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, good night. All right, Mr. Mitchell Henderson. And, prepare. Name of the game. Numanna, N-U-M-A-N-N-A, numanna.com. That's the place to go. Okay, back with you in 21 hours. See you tomorrow.